I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. President Obama's inauguration was celebrated all across Africa. Many on the African continent consider Mr. Obama, whose father was from Kenya, one of their own. The new president has also promised to pay more attention to Africa's problems, and one of the biggest problems confronting Africa is the long-running war in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Today, there was major news on that front. The renegade Congolese general, Laurent Nkunda, was arrested. He was the leader of a rebel force that had been fighting against the Congolese army. Nkunda's rebels recently staged an offensive in eastern Congo that forced hundreds of thousands of people to flee their homes. By the way, you can learn more about Laurent Nkunda and the war in Congo at theworld.org. The rebel leader's arrest took place in neighboring Rwanda. That was surprising because Nkunda was supposedly an ally of Rwanda. The BBC's Peter Greste is following the story from Nairobi, Kenya. He's met Laurent Nkunda and says he's a charismatic figure.
He's a very tall, elegant man, a thinly pinched face, very intense eyes. But he also is extremely ruthless. He's a man who has been already indicted for war crimes by the Congolese, and we believe that he will be extradited on that basis. But he is also a man who, I think, really stood for what the Tutsi people believed in. Remember, he was in the eastern Congo ostensibly to chase down the remnants of the Interahamwe. These were the radical Hutu militias who were responsible for that terribly brutal genocide in Rwanda in 1994. Now, as a Tutsi, Laurent Nkunda argued that he was in the Congo to track down and disarm those militias and to protect his own Tutsi minority from those people.
So here he is, Laurent Nkunda, a rebel hero one minute, and the next he's arrested by his one-time allies. What caused this fall?
Well, it is a little bit complicated, but it does seem that his fatal error was to launch an offensive on the east of the country, on the Congolese military, late last year. In doing so, he pushed about 250,000 people from their homes, and he brought down enormous amounts of international and diplomatic pressure, not just on himself, but on both Rwanda and his allies in Rwanda and on the Congolese government. It also seems as though he triggered a fairly important political shuffle in the cabinet in Kinshasa, in the Congolese capital. What happened there was that the government, or the president, replaced both his foreign minister and his defense minister, and that seemed to open up a bit of diplomatic space that allowed both Rwanda and the Congo to change the nature of their relationship. And I think what happened was that they both recognized that they'd be better off without Laurent Nkunda.
And you mentioned that diplomatic space. I mean, the U.S. and Britain are Rwanda's closest allies overseas. They provide most of Rwanda's foreign aid. They must have made quite clear that the conflict had to be brought to an end somehow.
That's right. They've been applying enormous amounts of diplomatic pressure over the past few months and over the past few years in particular. But I really think it had now got to the point where that pressure was unbearable and Laurent Nkunda had become more of an embarrassment than anything else to the Rwandans.
I suppose it's important for American listeners to understand that this doesn't really kind of solve the problems in eastern Congo. Where does this leave Congo as a whole, and specifically eastern Congo, the conflicts there?
Well, as you say, this war is definitely not over. The eastern Congo is a myriad of armed groups, of militias. There's the Pareko, there's the Mai Mai, there's the FDLR, there's the Congolese army, which often behaves more like a militia than a disciplined military force. And these forces are all there. They're still there. They're still fighting. They're still operating. They're still battling to fill that power vacuum, which General Nkunda has now vacated. And into this mix, of course, you've got the Rwandan troops themselves who've moved in at the invitation of the Congolese to help take on the Hutu militias. So we still have an incredibly volatile and complicated situation. And added to that, there is enormous amounts of mineral wealth, which is really keeping a lot of these militias alive and well-resourced. So, frankly, it is good news in one sense that the arrest of General Nkunda takes out effectively the most powerful military force in the region, but it doesn't resolve the conflict by any means whatsoever.
The BBC's East Africa correspondent Peter Greste in Nairobi. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.